Welcome again to the Ask Beatty Show. And it's so interesting, my friends, is that every single week when I listen to the Beatles lyrics, it is a reminder to me and hopefully a reminder to you that we certainly all go through so many ups and downs in our lives, and nobody is immune from life's challenges. It doesn't matter whether or not you're rich or poor or gay or straight or trans or Jewish or Christian or Muslim. There are challenges. And the real question is what do we do? What do we do when we find that we are on a never-ending roller coaster ride or merry-go-round ride and not a fun ride? Where the depression is simply not lifting. Do you realize that in the United States right now, there are 16 million adults, and I suspect that that number is very, very low, that are suffering from true clinical depression, and that actually translates into 1 in 5 Americans. And 40 million adults are suffering from a variety of anxiety disorders. So the thing is that we're stressed. We're stressed financially. We're stressed politically. There is income inequality in this country with this crazy, crazy primary and political situation that we're in. I find, even in my own private practice, that people are feeling more and more insecure and more worried and stressed about what is going to be happening, what is going to be happening to this country, and what is the impact of this going to be on us. You know, I was looking at some statistics. For example, suicide statistics in this country. I mean, do you realize that suicide attempts by young people have quadrupled over the past 6 years? And since 2011, there have been an increase. Just look at this, a 400% increase nationally by self-poisoning by young people. It's like, what is going on here? And the suicide rate amongst children ages 10 to 24 increased by 56%. I remember, I don't know about you, when I was 10 years old, I was outside in Winnipeg. I was playing baseball. I was playing volleyball. I was skating. I was going to school. It's like, what is going on? What is going on where you have a suicide rate with young people, kids who are really wanting or thinking that they really want to just kind of give up on their life? And if we're looking at intimate partner violence, domestic violence, the homicide rate by what I call so-called intimate partners has increased by 26% from 2010 to 2017. And you know what that means? It means that 4 women are killed every single day in this country by their intimate partners. Divorce. You know, people are always surprised when I go around the country and I'm talking about how to assess who's right for you and who's wrong for you, you know, before committing to any serious relationship, which is based on my book, my research, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love. People are always surprised at the divorce statistics. The divorce rate for first marriages is 48%. For second marriages, it's 67%. And for third marriages, it is 74%. So what is it that is going on or is not going on in our relationships? And of course, over the past 35 years as a practicing psychotherapist and sex therapist, I've really defined, and I really want to hear from you what you think about this, the three things that we all need to do if we're really serious about finding healthy, lasting love, not just lust, not just a hookup for the night, but lasting love. And the first thing, my friends, is that each of us has to be in a really good place emotionally and psychologically and psychiatrically. And it is not fun to have to be honest with ourselves and really want to and acknowledge that we need to deal with our so-called skeletons in the closet and our unfinished business for most of us that really stem from our own family of origins, the abuse, the neglect, the sexual abuse, the sexual harassment. Perhaps we were unfortunate since we do not get to choose our parents, about having grown up in an abusive home or in a neglectful home. And I wish I could say that we could bypass having to look at all of this. But the reality is that we can't. And even though we are unable to change history, what I have found is that there is a way, and it is a successful way, and it is also a very painful way, but it turns out to be an empowering way, that we can emotionally work through what did and did not happen in our past and in our present. And if you go through this process, even though it is tough and it's painful, and for some people it is very time consuming, for the first time in your life, you are finally able to live in the moment without having one foot in the past and one foot in the present. And that does not mean forgetting. And what I have discovered also over the years, having worked with thousands of people from various different groups presenting a variety of different psychological and emotional and psychiatric problems, that forgiveness is also not necessary in order to move on. Now, if people choose to forgive, that's great. But if you choose to not forgive, that is also okay, despite what you may be reading, despite what you may be hearing, despite what you may be believing is, in quotes, the right and moral and ethical thing to do, because it really does become about you. So, you know, every single week, when I see patients as they're leaving my office here in New York City on the Upper West Side, I give everybody the same homework. And this is the homework. I want everyone, I want you, and I do this for myself as well, to look at our behaviors, look at our interactions, look at our relationships, and ask ourselves two major questions. And the first question is whatever it is that we are doing, is it in our best interest? Or if it is not, you need to be really mindful about all of this, because the last thing that we want to do to ourselves is to engage in destructive and self-destructive and self-sabotaging behavior. So as you go throughout your days, and as I say, I do this myself as well, you need to ask yourself, is this okay? Am I engaging in relationships that are positive, that are life-affirming, or am I engaging in relationships that are destructive and self-destructive? And sometimes it's really, really hard to be honest with ourselves, because we want to be in love. We want somebody to love us, and yet we have to be mindful, and we have to be really honest. And if we are, the whole trajectory of our life can really, really change for the best. So I'm giving you that homework. And of course, I give you that homework every single Monday live here on the Ask Beatty Show here on the Progressive Radio Network. So it's not just emotional and psychological and behaviors. It's also about looking at things like our diets. And are we eating well, or are we fooling ourselves? You know, how much sugar are we, you know, having on a daily basis? Are we committed to a plant-based diet with fruits and vegetables and grains and fish and nuts? And it really does happen to make a difference. And what about exercise? I think that a lot of people, we make a lot of excuses. I woke up this morning and the last thing I felt like doing this morning was exercising, but I have weights in the apartment. I have a variety of different things that I use if I'm not going to the gym. And for about 25 minutes, I lifted my weights. I did all of the different exercises that I needed to do, despite the fact it was not something that I really wanted to do initially. And I felt great. So exercise, it's important. And some people love yoga and meditation. So whatever it is, I think that we all need to keep moving. The studies are very, very clear. Nobody can debate the fact that a good diet and exercise and sufficient sleep is critical for our very, very well-being. And of course, having supportive people in our life. And I ask you every single week to take a look, honestly, at the people who are in your life, your associates, your family. Are they people who are really supportive of you and loving? Or are they people who are toxic? Because we talk a lot about toxins in the environment. I talk a lot about toxic people. And we need to be really, really sure, and that includes family, that we need to eliminate toxic people from our lives, or they will kill us in one way or another if we allow it. Things like positive visualization and dancing and listening to music and getting a dog. Again, the studies are really, really clear about the benefits of having a dog, not just because you walk the dog, but primarily the latest studies show that the interaction, and you know, we have Cha-Cha, and you know, we have to walk Cha-Cha every single day, three times a day. And it's amazing the people that we have met, you know, meandering through Riverside Park, walking our dog Cha-Cha. And the other thing that we really have to, I think, be a lot more mindful about is having a beginning of the day and an ending of the day. And that includes minimizing social media, the cell phones, the computers. Enough is enough. And to be able to just chill and enjoy the sky, the sun, the landscape, and giving ourselves permission to move away from our technology that more and more is really taking over people's lives. You know, Jim and I, we were watching Curb Your Enthusiasm last night. And one of the episodes with Larry David is that he had one of these inflatable dolls, these sex dolls. And most of the show had to do, you know, with commentary about sex dolls and having sex with dolls. And during the summer last year, I had a professor on whose area of expertise is robotic sex. And he was talking about, and I couldn't believe this, that he feels that more and more people, and he even talked about all of this becoming more mainstream, were going to be wanting to engage in sex with robots rather than with human beings. I don't think so. I hope that's not the way this whole world is going. Well, okay, I have some actually wonderful news to share with you. I have a terrific, terrific guest, Anne Cutbill-Lenan, who is going to be talking to us about all of the creative things that she has done and is doing in her quest to find lasting love. But before I formally introduce Anne, we're going to play my favorite, one of my favorite songs, I Am Woman by Helen Reddy. Right, everybody. Of course, it's not just women who are strong and invincible. But anyways, Anne Cutbill-Lenan, I am so happy
Thank you for having me. Thank you. The human spirit is very strong.
Well, it certainly is.
Resilience.
So I have read about you, of course, as so many people have, in the New York Times. And you are someone who, in the most creative of ways, is looking for love. So you put your ad, your video in all of the New York taxis. And I thought, anybody who has this kind of chutzpah and this kind of creativity is somebody that I really, really want to know. You're fabulous, you're attractive, you're 56 years old, and you have not hesitated to let everybody know. You are one of the top real estate brokers in Manhattan, a divorced mom who raised two daughters, and I met one of your daughters who was beyond, beyond lovely.
Thank you.
Founder of the Wise and Wonderful Women, a professional networking group of amazing women, of which I am now part of.
Yes.
And what you did, you honed your extraordinary real estate marketing skills, and you've been using them to find lasting love. So how fantastic is that? So I want to know, Anne, here you are, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're successful. So what has eluded you thus far in being able to find lasting love? I mean, you're out there, you're with mm-hmm. everybody, you know everybody.
Right, I do. And, I put the taxi in this ad in this this summer, and 700,000 people were going to see it, but it ended up going viral. So 15 million people at this point saw it.
Incredible.
Now, the wild thing about that was that only three men from New York City replied to me, but thousands around not only the country, but the world. So one would say you should just give up. And what I found, though, was that men did reach out to me, but from very targeted areas around the country, not from New York, but the down south, the mountains. And I think those are actually the men, the more slightly more conservative in their, not conservative politically, but somebody that would pull out the chair, maybe a little bit more old-fashioned, not a player.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, I think a lot of the men in New York City tend to be a little bit in that direction. So it was interesting who did reply, who did reach out, because it was very, very clear. Very specific when I mean, in terms of where they were reaching out to from. Mm-hmm. So why have I not found my life partner yet?
And let me just ask you, when I think about this, three men in New York,
three men.
It's so interesting because I hear in my practice, I'm Canadian. Fortunately, I'm happily married to a New Yorker who I've known my entire life. But I don't get it, because so many women here in New York will tell me there are no men in New York. No, that's really hard to believe. And it's really hard to believe that only three men
right.
responded to your, and it was a fabulous, fabulous video.
Right.
Ad.
If you love your mother, but you still don't live with her and have a
right.
kind and generous
right.
soul. So, but people did reach out. And so I've had to widen my horizons, because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, right?
Right.
So if I need to widen my horizons and my playing field, because my search can be too narrow. And I have to own part of why this isn't working, the same way that I have, and then I also have to be creative about putting myself out there. And I have every hope and belief that the man for me is coming into my life, and I know that he will, and he will come at the right time, because timing's everything.
So let me ask you something. Woman to woman here, what exactly are you looking for in a man, in a long-lasting, serious relationship? What do you want?
When I say that I feel a little bit more comfortable in a pickup truck, it's the man that can fix things, is entrepreneurial, not a master of the universe. I probably is going to be somebody that's self-made, that hasn't come from money. And again, I don't want to put down very specific things like that. But when I've seen the men that I tend to be attracted to, it's just. Maybe my own insecurities. I want somebody that's a little bit more chill. Now, that's a very hard thing, because I am the ultimate type A New Yorker.
Right.
I am on it, right? And I'm really out there. So that combination, but also somebody that is passionate and very, they have to be smart and they have to be, but street smart, you know, just somebody that's going to be able to not be intimidated by my success.
Right.
Because I really do want somebody that is going to be just have their own life.
So of the thousands of men, I mean, millions, 15 million people saw this video,
right.
Which is, beyond. There were, I'm sure, many, many, many hundreds of men, I would think, that actually responded directly to you.
Well, I was so taken aback because I was sure there were going to be people in New York.
Uh-huh.
And then there weren't.
Uh-huh.
And then it really, I got very depressed. It was really hard. I really do. I don't want a long distance relationship. You know, relationships are hard enough. And I really didn't want a long distance relationship. So.
And you can't move. I mean, you've got your successful
right,
real estate business.
But I do
have
flexibility. Right. And I do have flexibility. And again, I do have to be in New York because I love what I do. So I said, okay, let me just go back to the playing field and sit back and really embrace the process and say, shift gears and say, okay, girl, get out there. Where were the men replying from? And why don't I go and just check that out? So where there was a big pocket of people was in Charleston in the Carolinas.
Uh-huh.
So I've got a great single girlfriend down there, and she's, 40, never married. And she and I have commiserated about her search for love. And I said, let me go down there. I hired a matchmaker to interview with her to see what matchmakers, because I hadn't met with a matchmaker before, see what matchmakers are like down there, kind of demystify that.
I saw the clip.
It was great. And then I met some Southern men, and I changed, when you change locations, even if you're going through an airport, the match or Bumble will change your geo-targeting.
Right.
So all of a sudden you're like the hot prospect in town, and all these men start to pour into your phone. And so I had a producer go ahead. I wanted to put this on film and see what this process was like.
Mm-hmm.
So I had them change where I was located, and I had all these different men, and we reached out and said, listen, would you be open to meeting with me, but film this date? And I found that I really, really liked these men. And they were people I wouldn't have swiped on.
Why wouldn't you? Because I watched your 30-minute, which is hopefully going to become an HBO pilot. I mean, it's great.
It would be great. Netflix, HBO, if you're listening. I felt this calling to go down, and I was able to interview the men down there. I was able to interview the women. I had a 71-year-old widow that her dating life isn't so different than somebody that's 40, and that is looking for somebody as well. But the men, they really talked to me. And the reason why I wouldn't have swiped on them was because maybe they didn't have the look that I would normally go for physically. And again, you have to have chemistry.
Yes,
let's not,
you do.
Let's not say that you're just going to,
Absolutely.
But that I was more open. And sitting across from these men, it might not have been the match for me, but it opened up my heart and made me really realize that I have to be more open-minded.
Uh-huh.
I have to do that. And I have to own your side of the street. Why
Absolutely.
Isn't it working?
So open-minded geographically and open-minded in what other ways and what other things did you learn about yourself during this Charleston process?
It reinforced wanting to be with somebody that is not so slick. It's just not my thing.
Uh-huh.
And I come off as super slick, right?
Right,
so I would
right,
be like
right.
able to handle this. It's just not something that makes me feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have to, listen, know thyself. This
yes.
is the good thing about being now 57, not even 56, but I'm 57 and even more fabulous, is that you have to know thyself. So when you were real about what it is that you need, so what I need is a real partnership. I need somebody that's going to show up to the table that is financially, physically, and spiritually and emotionally healthy. Mm-hmm. And in the past, I've kind of forgiven that or made excuses that if somebody isn't at a certain place in their life, emotionally even, that somehow that's okay. And what I realized is that I need somebody to show up that is ready to have a relationship in every way. Mm-hmm. So it's not, I don't need somebody that is a millionaire. I don't need a master of the universe. Mm-hmm. But I need somebody to be able to take care of themselves financially.
Right.
Right.
And fair enough. So you're saying that you've been enormously successful here in Manhattan as a realtor.
But relative to, I'm a really great real estate broker.
Right.
But relative to everybody else that lives in New York City, you know, everything's relative.
Yes.
But this is the narrative that we have to stop as women, because what I heard when at least five people a day ask me, so what happened? So that's why I really wanted to do this show, because people wanted to find out what happened, you know, because people do want other people to find love, and they want to find love themselves, right? So when people were asking me, they almost finished the sentence when I said I haven't found him yet. They said, "Oh yeah, because you don't need a man, and that's why you haven't been able to find a man." I said, "Wait a second, whoa, and you're too successful." These are other women saying that to me. Please, we do not need to dumb this down.
Exactly.
We need to own our strength. And wouldn't it be? This is what I don't understand. Wouldn't it be more attractive and make a man feel more secure and not insecure if I don't need them, but I want them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference. It's an important difference.
But, so know thyself. I have to take responsibility for how I look at things. The interesting thing is that I have found in the past with friendships and with men that I have found that I feel more secure with men that need me, which means they're not also not showing up mm-hmm. in a way that in my mind I want them to, but it makes me feel more secure that then they won't leave me. That is the real honest to God's truth. So I need to change that narrative in my head, and I can't give the guys a hard time with saying that they want a woman that needs them, because I'm saying the same thing, that I want a man that needs me, but then I'm ending up with somebody that's not really available.
But you see, that's a wonderful revelation. So you're saying then, here I'm putting on my therapist hat, of course. So has your thing been, in certain ways, the, in quotes, unavailable man who has not been able to really be there for you emotionally, spiritually, sexually, physically, financially?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you've learned. If you've learned nothing else 100%. Thus far,
exactly.
How important is that?
That's the first step.
Yes.
Very important step to just stopping the continuation of not finding the right people.
Right.
And so the great thing is that you can, with 56 comes, 57 comes great wisdom. And it's empowering to really finally get that what you've been doing is not working, and to own it, and to give yourself a break. We are not perfect.
Absolutely.
And just not to say I'm not a bad person, I'm not an idiot, but I'm human and I'm perfectly imperfect. Mm-hmm. But if I can share that with another woman, if I can share that with another person, another man, mm-hmm. that's a beautiful thing. I mean, we shine as women when we share. I really do believe that women want to empower other women. I don't believe that women try to tear each other down. I think we're at our best when we really share what is going on for us in a real way.
Well, I think the wise and wonderful women's organization that you've put together, I mean, that exemplifies. I mean, I have never been a women's business organization type woman, but I love the women that are in the group. I mean, you've really selected terrific women who are giving and sharing
right.
and open and smart and
thank
nice.
Thank you.
No, really, it's true.
Well, it's funny. It's organically come together.
Yes.
And I don't think of it as a business. You know, I do ask for bios before people come, but I ask them to put together you know, their history, business and personal. Mm-hmm. And I want people to be able to help, women to be able to help each other. So that's why I want to kind of give a little background. But what I love is the energy in the room when we are talking about things that are difficult for us, our triumphs and things that we have found, and sharing. Because when you were talking about suicide and all the struggles, we are this airbrushed society, right? We are on social media. And I have to tell you, I can't imagine how teenagers, I've got two wonderful teenagers, you know, every picture is airbrushed that they're looking at. Their lives are airbrushed. Yes. But we as grown-ups are airbrushing our lives too. So I love about social media that I can point out that I woke up in the morning and was so distracted that I put on a red boot, a blue boot, and a black boot. Because and showing that, and the reason why I'm showing that, and the reason why I'm showing if I'm going to get plastic surgery or I'm going to get Botox or whatever it is that I'm choosing to do, is to say, this does not happen naturally, A. B, I'm falling apart most of the time and having a hard time keeping it together. But the more that we connect and are real with each other, then I feel that the loneliness, you can... The two places that I believe that you can feel the most lonely is in a big city and in a marriage that is not connected, in a relationship that you're staying in, that you're just, that is so damn lonely. That just feels like the end of the world. So I just want to be able to create real connections and friendships. And
no,
anyway.
You're definitely, you know, doing that. And, you know, and I always talk about, you know, lessons to be learned, lessons that we are learning so that we're able to move ahead with our lives, relationship-wise, business-wise, you know, in every facet of our life, so that we're not going to continue, as you were saying before, doing the same thing over and over and over that doesn't work and then expecting... different results.
Right.
I want to hear more, and I know that the audience would love to hear more about some of the other men, other than the men that you met in Charleston. And before I go on to that, I wanted to ask you, was it the matchmaker in the State of Love, let's call it a pilot.
Right. It was a pilot. Or proof of concept. So she, with the name of A State of Love.
So she the State of Love. Introduced you, is that right, to the men that were on this show?
No. Those came from Bumble and Match.
Uh-huh.
And we did, when people kind of reached out to me, we were very honest and said that I was coming in from New York and that I was going to be shooting a show and that the date was going to be filmed. And we would never, not let people know that. So that was so interesting, you know, also because I remember one of the men, you know, we had to edit it down to only 30 minutes. We had so much great content. And, but one of the men said, I love my daughter so much, but I've been living alone for 14 years and she came to stay with me for a month. Mm-hmm. And after a month, I said, you got to go. And I thought to myself, can I really live with somebody again? Like, here I am dating, and
good
I want to
question.
Be with somebody, but can I do that? Mm-hmm. I question that for myself. But just with him sharing that in a really honest way, it made me feel like I'm not crazy for feeling that or having those thoughts. Mm-hmm. And just his openness. You know, when we are human with each other, it is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. So all of the men that I met, I was able to, because the cameras were on and we were not at a regular date, they were sharing in a different way than if we were on a real New York City date.
I found them to be very, very open. I mean, surprisingly open, especially with the cameras shooting everything. And nice and warm and sensitive.
And they were.
And, you know, but you said that these would never have been men that you would have swiped right.
So is it a Southern thing? Is it just you get people out of New York and they soften up a little bit? Because, listen, I can be really tough. I'm a New Yorker.
Right.
So maybe it is. So that's why, you know, I want to go to Montana. I want to go to Northern California. I want to check out different areas of the country. And it is for my own in kind of curiosity, and also in terms of it fed my soul those 2 days. I really came out so just feeling great about it, just more connected to humanity, but also want to take the viewer and other women and other men on this journey and see. It's also a little bit about what is life like. I mean, many of us are older and thinking about where we might want to end up, or even a lot of young people that don't have to be in urban environments, and where, you know, it's a little bit of a travel show and just what is life like in kind of with the perspectives of love, though. So anyway, I'm really excited about it. We shall see what happens. But gosh, it's been a wild ride. From that taxi ad to here, it has been a wild ride.
And it's really just beginning. Was there any chemistry that you felt with any of the men who
I really watched? Liked Glenn the hemp farmer.
He was very nice.
You know what was great about him? He was honest and telling why his marriage ended, that she had cheated. But what he was also, which you don't see on camera too, it was that their marriage was breaking up. You know, owning the fact that their marriage was crumbling and she stepped out, right? Mm-hmm. So they let it get to he owned his part of the street. She mm-hmm. should have not cheated. That wasn't right. But he didn't say she's just 100% wrong. Also with Scott, which you don't see, many of these people talked about the fact that they had to look at their side of the street. I mean, I know.
We all do.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't.
Absolutely.
And when I sit across this, you know, the table from somebody when I'm meeting them on a first date and they start bashing their ex and they were all wrong, you know, in the rare circumstance, that might be the case. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of relationships, there are two people responsible for the demise of that and or picking the wrong person from the start.
Absolutely.
But we all have that information. I mean, it's really rare. I mean, when I went out with my husband the very first date, he said to me, I would never marry somebody without a prenup. Now, why was this? This was like his anthem. This is date one. Uh-huh. And what that spirit was I'm going to protect myself from you. I'm not going to join. I'm not going to have a joining of a partnership. From day one, that was the first date. I chose not to listen to that. To me, the most important thing is a partnership and coming together and really trusting each other. You know, prenup or not prenup, it wasn't the point. It was the spirit of what he was saying. You know, I'm not saying that people shouldn't. But I had that information and I chose to just say it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you at 57 years old, I hope that those red flags that pop up and mm-hmm. what are deal breakers for me, mm-hmm. that I'll listen to that next time.
Exactly. Well, you know, that is exactly why I did my research, because I was really wondering, you know, what is going on? What are we missing when it comes to relationships with the, you know, high and soaring divorce statistics, the high and soaring domestic violence relationship statistics. And, you know, when I did the research and came up with this formula, and I you know, I say tongue in cheek all the time, it's not sexy, it's not fun, but it works. I mean, thousands and thousands of people around the world have used this, which is about how to assess who's right for you and who's wrong for you before committing to any serious relationship. And it's kind of like having me in your purse or in your pocket. And I'd like to think I'm a really great diagnostician. But the thing, and I'd mentioned this to you before the show, the thing that was so frustrating for me with the results is that the study found that it takes about a year to find out who somebody is and isn't, unless the red flags are right in your face.
And then you run for the hills.
And you better run for the hills and exit and extricate right. yourself as soon as possible. But to play out the points of the match, you know, this is the tennis player in me speaking, it's critical.
But you see, there's a part of women, I'm going to just say for women because I am a woman, that we need to, A, not be afraid to be alone.
Yes.
Not be afraid to wait. But also really own that this is important to me and not say, you know what, it's okay if. to say it's not okay if, like, there have to be deal breakers.
Absolutely.
And it feels almost like, oh, there shouldn't be deal breakers. I should give somebody, like, that compassionate. But why are we not compassionate for ourselves?
Exactly.
And you know what? What I want to say to you is that you've said it's not fun, it's not sexy to do this. But you know what? It is. When you have a good, solid relationship, how fun and sexy is that?
Absolutely.
So you know what? You might have to go through this a little bit, but you're going to get to that fun and sexy on the other side, because it is not fun and sexy when your relationship is not working. That is not fun and sexy.
That's exactly true.
That and, is down and dirty.
And this process,
and depressing.
Right? I mean, this process gives you and takes you to the reality of what your relationship is. And you know, in chapter 10 is the perfect partner. There's no such thing. And in every chapter, I have exercises that people have to write. And I say to them, you really need to write the answers in your own handwriting to look at, again,
right,
the reality of what's going on. If you're looking at skeletons in the closet or communication or emotional intimacy or sex, and that there's certain compromises and trade-offs that should never, ever, ever be made, such as abuse of any kind, poor communication, poor problem solving. And, you know, I joke, as a sex therapist, I mean, I can teach anybody anything in terms of sexual dysfunction. I cannot teach chemistry. I mean, that is something.
Right. Or character.
Or character.
You know, it's funny, when the matchmaker was asking me, what is it that you're looking for? And just having to list it. There is a part of me being very honest and saying, like, am I, you know, is it okay for me to give these lists of things? Am I being so restrictive? But we all, you know, I can picture a job or a listing or, you know, a client that I want to sell an apartment to. That's fine. But when it comes to my happiness, what is good for me, I have a harder time with that. Mm-hmm. There's a friend of mine, and I'm not sure if you were at the meeting, I think you were, that has bracelets. I'm wearing them now. Wish beads.
Yes.
And
yes.
So you're able to put in what you're wishing for, and you roll it up on a tiny little piece of paper, mm-hmm, and you wear it in this little silver kind of canister on your arm. They're very, very pretty. And when I was writing those out, and you know, I'm able to look at it every single day. Mm-hmm. And when I was writing those out, there is power in a vision board.
Absolutely.
There's power in writing it down and wanting it.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, in chapter 10, and I'll be really eager to hear what you have to say about the book and how it really can apply and help you in your own, dating life. There are three questions. And the three questions, this is after you've gone through the entire process. You know this person really, really well. So the three questions are, what I want and need in a long-term loving relationship. Question number two, what I don't want and need. And question number three is, describe the reality of my relationship, what I have discovered. And you have to write it all down. And fortunately, you know, if you're lucky, what I want and need matches for the most part in the most important ingredients with what you want. But if you're also lucky, you're able to see that what I want and need is not at all what is present in my current relationship and what I've always
felt. Hate
when
that happens.
Well, but it's a win-win situation either way. It's a successful outcome either way if you can move forward. And to be able to see that this is not in my best interest, this is not a good relationship, how successful is that for us as women? It's a success. It's a real success.
And you need to surround yourself with people that will, you know, don't we all have friends that when we're on a diet, there's the one friend that says, it's fine, cheat, have the brownie,
right?
And the other one that goes, is that really what you want to do? Because aren't you really trying, you know, like, I'm going to support you in what you want, right? So when we want to hear what we want to hear, we go to that friend that says, eat the brownie.
Right.
Or stay with the guy or, you know, but, you know. So you also, the surrounding yourself with friends or family of choice, mm-hmm, that are healthy, supports your journey
Exactly.
To find that life partner.
Exactly.
And
to challenge you. And to challenge
exactly.
some of the things that you're
exactly.
seeing, some of the things that
Are
you're saying.
Are you picking up the brownie?
Exactly.
Put down the crack pipe.
Exactly. Well, I want to lighten things up a little bit. And Barry Manilow has this beautiful song. I was looking for songs that we could play today, Anne. And we're going to play a song right now about I'm Ready to Love Again.
Dun, 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 dun.
To take another chance. I mean, we've all been hurt. We've all been disappointed. We've all been divorced. And to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to learn from some of the things that happened and didn't happen in my life. But that the priority in my life is that I want a healthy, long-lasting love relationship. And it takes a lot of chutzpah. It takes a lot of guts.
That's right.
To put yourself out there in the way that you are. I mean, you're doing this in an extraordinarily big way.
Right, I am. And it's funny because when people come up to me and they say, have you found somebody yet?
Right.
And I said, not yet. You know, it would be very easy for me to turn this on myself and say, God, this is crazy. I have 15 million people and I haven't seen it. But you know what? I just feel like I've got an incredibly blessed life. And it really, this whole, you know, the reason why I put in the taxi ad that I was 56 and fabulous was I almost wanted it to be an anthem to women. It
Right.
was not about having the guy as the brass ring. It really wasn't. I knew it was going to empower other women. I knew that I wanted to put myself out there. I just said, let's see what happens. Because I don't know what's supposed to happen. I don't know whether I'm just going to have a bunch of wonderful relationships, male and female, in my life. And that's going to be, you know, maybe I don't get married again. Maybe, I don't know.
Do you want to get married again?
I believe that, yes. I want to find that safe place in life.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I describe mm-hmm. it. That mm-hmm. just, I want to put my head on somebody's chest and just know that I'm home. That's what I want. And I have to do the work on me. I have to put it out there. And then at the end of the day, that's all really you can do.
Yeah.
You really have to keep doing the work and showing up. And you know what? It's okay to turn it off for a while and to say, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to lay back.
Absolutely.
Just take a break. And but that's why you have to have great girlfriends. You got to have the girlfriend and your male gay friends. You know, like the best.
Strong support system.
Exactly.
Really gets us through the tough times.
Exactly. So, for anybody that wants to reach out to my website, so Annie Gets It Done will give information about the real estate, but it also will give all the journeys that I've been on in terms of the women's events and the different taxi ads
and everything else. Well,
and everything else.
I'll definitely have to have you back, of course, because we're going
to
want to hear.
And see what happens in Montana.
Yes, and update. I want to thank you so much, Anne Cotbelline, for coming on the show. And I have an update. I have an update that I have to share with everybody. I don't know whether you've all heard the news, but Harvey Weinstein, he was found guilty on 2 charges, including rape. After a trial in which 6 women testified in detail that he attacked them. So lessons to be learned, you know, women coming out, you know, thank goodness for the whole Me Too movement. And hopefully along the way that men are learning, regardless of their money and their power, that they can and they will be prosecuted and that they're really going to have to watch how it is that they are behaving, and they're not going to be able to to really hide behind status. So this was a very empowering day for you, Anne, an empowering day for the women that had the courage to really come out. And I can't believe an hour has come and gone yet again on the Ask Beauty Show. And I want to leave you with my 2 weekly messages for you and for the audience. And the first message is that we have to do everything that we can possibly do to find ways to love ourselves and to do what is in our best interest.
And secondly, particularly in this political climate, we all need to do a much, much, much better job to finding ways to love each other. So goodbye, everybody. Have a great rest of the day, and I will see you all next week.